This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And today we are joined once again. We are feet. We have a special guest. We are once again done the honor and the pleasure of being joined here in the mobile recording space that is
this digital Zoom and completely call. On the internet.
That's right, yes. By the host of Radio Drama Revival, podcast critic, journalist, all around amazing person, Elena Fernandez Collins. How are you doing today?
You said feet, and I thought you meant the body part.
No, I meant like with the song, like when it's like, you know, the No Bad Ideas people featuring.
Yeah, it's too late.
Special guest star. Yeah, well, that's all right.
You can just add it to your list of titles. It's fine.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, no, I stand by what I said. We are feet is what we are. Ellie, thank you so much for coming back and being down to subject yourself to even more of this. This bad ideas melange that we do here on this show.
Hanging out with you guys is not subjecting myself to anything.
Aww.
Well, hold on to that thought until we get to the first idea. You might change your mind if you are tuning into No Bad Ideas for the first time. This is the episode where we take the worst possible thoughts that we can find on the internet, things that people did that were maybe not as well thought out as they could have been, just like maybe needed another moment or two in the old brain before they got acted upon, but they did not get that moment. And then we try to turn those bad ideas into good stories in just 10 minutes. And I believe that today's bad idea chef du jour is Mr. Zach Valenti.
That's right.
With a spicy meatball of an idea for all of you.
Just one, Zach. I want you to come on and be like, I found something kind of bland. I found something very tame and manageable.
Oh, no.
It would be a nice change of pace.
You know this meatball is spicy because it's made with monkey.
That is a turn. Okay.
From livescience.com. I have a story for you that involves our pandemic, but hopefully it is lighter-hearted than it could be otherwise. Monkey steals COVID-19 blood samples from a lab technician in India. Oh, yes.
Lab technician, why?
The video went viral on social media, showed the monkey thief in a tree. And there is a video. It is amazing. Go check it out. Link in the description. A monkey attacked a lab technician on the campus of a medical school in India and ran away with blood samples from three patients infected with COVID-19. I think the story ends happily they don't get out, just in case anybody's worried.
Okay,
take a deep breath. The robbed lab technician, meanwhile, took the video with his phone of the incident. After snatching the samples and other medical items, the video reveals the monkey clambered up a nearby tree. That video, which was shared on social media, also shows the animal gnawing on what looks like surgical gloves, Indian news outlet NDTV reported. The incident took place several days ago at the government-run Lala Lajpat Rai Memorial Medical College in Uttar Pradesh. Excuse me for mispronouncing anything. A state in northern India, and authorities made their first official statement on the theft May 29th, according to NDTV. Local residents are concerned that the incident could increase the risk of COVID-19 transmission, first to other monkeys and then to humans, India Today reported. To date, there are 7,170 confirmed cases of COVID in Uttar Pradesh, according to ANI News. Indeed, evidence suggests that humans can infect some animals with SARS-CoV-2, the novel coronavirus that causes the COVID-19 disease. In April, five tigers and three lions at the Bronx Zoo in New York City tested positive for the coronavirus. They were infected by an asymptomatic staff member, according to the Wildlife Conservation Society. Two pet cats and a dog in the U.S. have also tested positive for coronavirus, which they likely contracted from contact with people, Time reported. And SARS-CoV-2 vaccine candidates have been tested on Ruiz Macus, I can't pronounce this, but I think it's a monkey, who showed symptoms of the disease. However, the monkey snatched blood samples and not throat or tongue swabs from infected patients. College principal Dr. S.K. Garg said in a statement, according to the Indian Express, quote, "These blood samples are taken from COVID-19 patients during routine treatment," Garg said. He added that there is no evidence that the monkeys or any animal can catch the coronavirus through contact with blood from infected people, the New York Times reported. Instead, the coronavirus is primarily spread through contaminated respiratory droplets and possibly through aerosols containing viral particles, Live Science previously reported. An inquiry about the monkey incident is currently underway. My favorite sentence in the whole article. authorities with the medical college have asked the technician to explain in writing how he was overpowered by a monkey.
And that's my favorite sentence.
Why he responded
in writing is what makes it hard.
To the theft by filming the thief rather than immediately notifying hospital officials, the Times of India reported. And that, my friends, is the end of that article and the beginning of a 10-minute timer.
I think my response to that is just like different pitches of groans. Just like,
can we just like scrap most of it and then just keep the last bit and like title it The Monkey Incident and have it be about a student who had something stolen by a monkey and has to explain in writing what happened, and then we like flash back to it as
this is a very unreliable narrator.
Yes, exactly.
So like there's different versions, we can Rashomon this.
Guys, take the monkey and run.
No. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
There's like a child's an animated film about monkeys who run their own secret lab at night and finally get caught stealing the equipment that they need. But I like this much better.
Yeah, no. And it's one of these kinds of like, you know, the disciplinary board of the university is called to settle the matter of how the dean's Cadillac ended up in like the central fountain. And this kid is just kind of like, this monkey stole the key. And this sort of this like, all right, hang on a second, Mr.
Let's
Thompson.
Start from the beginning.
Yeah, we're going to need you to like take this through us step by step.
Yeah.
and there will be periodically sort of, you know, kind of like we'll be flashing into like what the story is. And then someone will interrupt. They'll be like, wait a minute. I thought you said that you were wearing a red shirt. And he'll kind of go like, yes. And then the scene will resume, but now the detail will be different.
Yeah, like kind of a lot fixed. Of like,
right.
Like a lot of like elastic little details that kind of shift as he gets called out on things.
And of course, certain people on the examining board saw bits of the incident, so they can provide contrary testimony as well. And, you know, when you flashback, things will change as well.
All of which is like one of those testimonies is like black and white film noir style.
Oh, absolutely.
One is animated. Mm-hmm. One is like, you know, high contrast colors. It's a musical practically. You know, it's all
one
like
is an action sequence
all the time.
Like with a, you know, a Rambo-esque monkey.
Right.
As the action hero.
One is like, you know, the member of the faculty that is saying this kind of a crotchety old man, but when he tells a story, he's played by Chris Evans.
Obviously.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Just imagining the Rambo version with that, it's like a ribbon of bullets.
Like
the bandoliers?
Like that's the thing that he wears around. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the kind of thing that's that is very tricky to write, which makes it interesting because you do sort of have to come up with, okay, what actually happened? What are the sort of permutations right. that can spin off from that? And then what is the funniest way to get the audience to understand, either understand what actually happened or just realize that they will never know what the monkey incident was.
Yeah.
Right, right. All of which are tough questions to answer and kind of take like actually breaking the structure of this thing.
Right.
Let's begin, I think, like maybe a little bit more superficially. Like, what is the thing that went wrong? Like, why are they on trial?
Like, I think that we can stick with some of the stuff right in the original article. I think mm-hmm. that it can still be like a science student who was like in the field, maybe, or doing mm-hmm. something involving semi like dangerous, like toxic, I don't know, equipment, like a blood sure. sample, yeah. right? Or like a bacteria or something that's not actually that dangerous. And then a monkey right. like
samples
stole
of
it.
Culture.
Right. A monkey broke in and stole it, or something happened. And instead of doing things like fighting to get it back, this person filmed it. And then mm-hmm. put it online right. for like online club.
Oh, right. And there is the film, which is the only objective account.
Exactly.
Like at the center of it, there is this film, and all the subjective things are kind of around it. Okay, great.
Right, but the film can be sort of like film of Bigfoot level. Like it's a little grainy. The thumb is in front of the camera for a second. Yeah, yeah. Like it's out of focus.
Right, they were trying to like regain their focus, so they have a flip phone.
And like chasing after the monkey to like keep it in frame, but it's moving a lot. Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. Like Cloverfield.
Exactly.
They manage to kind of like frame it nicely for a second, then they trip over their feet,
yeah.
fall straight to the right. ground.
The video is just this side of a potato.
Right.
Yes.
They finally get like another nice framing. Their friend Steve calls them, and it's then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, Steve, I can't talk yeah. right now. I'm filming this thing. And Steve is like, no, man, this is fast. This is fast. I promise. What is it? So, you know, it's me and Marsha. I think that we're breaking up again. Damn it, Steve, I really can't do this right now. And there's just like a little bit of that conversation in the middle there. The phone flailing wildly right. the entire time.
You know when you're like filming your own screen and like the text box comes up and like uh-huh. jumps in front of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that happens. It's his brother wondering like, so what are we doing about mom for Mother's Day? Are you getting the flowers? Am I getting the flowers?
I don't care about any flowers right now.
Right, exactly.
We can do
it's
this
like,
later,
bro,
Steve.
I don't care about Mother's Day. Cut to like later in the movie, his mom watching that video is like, oh, fuck, I forgot that was in there. I thought that was, you know, I like thought that this was all just monkey stuff. I forgot about the other monkey stuff.
Right. I like this that like the sort of verite footage reveals like the disaster zone that is this person's relationships.
Yes.
I mean, they're a grad student, so what would you expect?
I mean,
right?
Yeah, actually.
I'm just making
love to all
silence.
Grad students.
That was a moment of silence taken in observance of the travails of all grad students.
So, in the roughly 3.5 minutes you have left, where does it go?
Oh, it goes bananas. It
pun intended?
All kinds of places.
But
pun very much intended.
Fuck, I hate you.
So I think that there's a couple of possible ways to go. And one is, and it's kind of a like, do we want it to, at the end of the movie, kind of be a like well-oiled machine where everything surprisingly fits together and all of these accounts suddenly add up and we all realize in a moment of like, oh my God, we do know where the monkey is
right.
and everyone rushes out to like...
To go find the monkey.
That's kind of, I think, like the hangover sort of approach uh-huh. where all of these things all of a sudden add up and then
it comes together much in the style of Knives Out.
Yes. That's a far better reference.
Yeah.
The other one, I think, is the like just like increased chaos thing where these accounts keep revealing more and more problematic things, but nothing about the monkey. Like, you know, by the end of the movie, it's been revealed that this person is having an affair. This person is $20,000 in debt.
Yes.
This person has been, you know, like cheating on their partner with this other person.
This person stole the research from the other person.
Yeah, exactly. And the more that they try to find out what happened with this monkey, the more all kinds of other destructive things come to the light.
Right. And in that case, I think it ends like with an actual fight breaking out amongst all of these so-called serious academics. And then we just pan out the window and there's the monkey playing in a tree nearby.
Right, right.
Just chilling.
Alternate ending is that we pan to like the student who this originally happened to, who is just mm-hmm. watching all of this happen. And then we suddenly see like a flash of realization on their face and they leave. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, right, I like it. Right. I like it.
Maybe they try to get like someone's attention for like, they like try it three times to be like, and then it's like, fuck it. Never mind.
No, I'm out.
Just like, I'm not paid enough for this stuff.
In the last minute.
I'm not paid at all. What are you talking about?
that's exactly.
In the last minute, what's it called and how do we solve graduate school exploitation?
Yeah.
Oh God. I mean, the unions? Monkey incident, I think, is, well, yes, that's also how you solve that problem.
I do like the monkey incident. The investigation into the monkey incident is kind of a long title, but.
Yeah, and I think we solved the problem of the exploitation of grad students. Oh, definitely. By a very, very set of thorough reforms to labor and what is considered acceptable work in academia and what is considered actual, you know, exploitation by having clearer definitions and clearer, you know, channels of
and budgetary reporting. Priorities that protect the workforce.
But that's just a start.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And that's time. I had monkey did.
Ooh, that's very good.
That's good, though.
That is good.
Oh, my God.
I do like that.
Oh, wow. I do like that.
A plus.
So impressed with you guys and where you took this ridiculously silly idea.
Oh, that poor lab assistant.
Seriously.
I know, seriously.
And also, I mean, not good work, monkeys, because dangerous pandemic, but also you know, don't write them off.
Monkey's gonna monkey.
Also a good title.
Well, we're going to break's gonna break and come right back.
Hello, dear listener, Zach Valenti diving in with a quick message to please check out our Patreon page and consider signing up for a monthly contribution to keep our lights on over here at No Bad Ideas HQ. Head on over to www.nobadideaspodcast.com/support to check out all of the rewards that...
All right, Gabrielle, Sarah... Refresh your web browsers. Unseen.show is live. Yeah, check that out. We've got the email capture ready, and I don't know, I found this random photo for the background. I think it's fitting for the material. What do you think? Yes!
That's www.nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Shout out to all you fine folks that already support us. And if you're not in a position to do so right now, we love you all the same. All right, that's it for now. Let's get back to No Bad Ideas. And welcome back. We broke the break, and now we're back. And
that was a mistake.
Hey.
And delighted to have an idea from our special guest, Ellie.
Okay. The image that you should have in your head is a 3-lane road, right?
Okay.
3 roads at an intersection. There is a large tree on one corner of the intersection, and sticking up out of the tree is a stop sign.
Ah! Same okay, word. Great.
Out
great.
Of the tree?
Yes, out of the tree. It is in the tree, and it's sticking out of the tree.
Okay.
Is it orientated properly? Does, like, is the stop, you know,
No.
straight, like, or is it crooked?
It's like slightly tilted, and it's like facing the intersection.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just to make things more confusing. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Grand.
The story behind the stop sign is that this is a stop sign that my local government put in my town in Puerto Rico, and they put it on the wrong side of the intersection, facing in the wrong direction. So they had people who were coming downhill stopping and yielding to the people who were coming uphill.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Question mark.
So people in my town got kind of annoyed, as you might imagine, and they dug up the sign and they threw it away. Like, this was like on the edge of a cliff because this is on a mountain, right? Because they're coming downhill. This is a mountain.
They threw it away.
They threw it away. They threw it off that side of the mountain. And like a week later, the sign comes back in the same position.
Oh no!
Except this time they have like chained it to the ground. Right.
Escalation.
And I don't know if anybody like knows stuff. If you guys know about stop signs, but stop signs are really heavy.
Yeah. They are
very heavy, y'all. But somebody just like undid the chains. Like they like cut through it with bolt cutters and threw it away again, like onto the ground. Just like, no, stop it. And then they brought it back and they put it in a concrete block. They buried it in concrete at the side of the road.
Wow.
Oh.
And somebody came in the middle of the night and dug up the concrete block with some kind of...
The hero we need.
...machine and put it in the goddamn tree.
Amazing.
Fuck.
And there it stayed for like a month.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else to this amazing story, or are we ready to
nope,
get
that's
on it?
It? You are ready to roll.
Okay.
10-minute
okay.
Timer.
Get me a 10-minute timer running. Are we running?
I'm so stoked. This is so great.
Okay. 10-minute timer.
Okay. So there's a couple of subgenres of recurring stories here in No Bad Ideas. One is just sharks. For whatever reason, we do a lot of shark
stories.
We do
a lot of shark stuff.
Bad ideas. Almost as popular as the shark stories, however, I think are tales that, for better or for worse, probably should star Nick Offerman as a thinly veiled analog to the character that he played on Parks and Rec. And I think that this is another one of these stories of just kind of like one man sees a world where something is very clearly gone wrong. Someone else goes, I guess we're going to need to report that to City Hall. And our man goes, fuck that noise. And with a judicious application of extreme force, just like removes the problem with extreme practicality.
Yes. This struck me as there's a wonderful 2014 anthology film called Wild Tales by Damon Sferon. And this struck me as like could absolutely be one of those stories where a weird circumstance just causes people to lose their damn minds. And so... I like the idea that we have Nick Offerman as our avenging angel of things being done correctly in the world. And I wonder if there is a way for us to invent another character, a nemesis who works for the city government and is trying to just follow orders and put the damn stop sign where they're told it should be.
But I think they need to be kind of malicious. Like, they need to not just be following orders. They need to be, like, getting off on the right of authority, on the right of, like...
I think it can start as just, like, I am bored and doing my job. But then when they are thwarted the first time, suddenly it gets personal, you know?
I see. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. But yeah, but then it becomes sort of... And I like that it would be somewhere, not necessarily maybe somewhere rural, but like a small city, maybe not like New York, where if this happened, a lot of people would immediately be involved. But just kind of somewhere where like this could be something that like two guys are going at it for a couple of weeks. Oh, yes. Right. And everyone else is kind of just like, we're going to let this see. We're going to see how this goes before we get involved.
Just yet.
Everyone in town is just like, yeah, this tracks. Just let it go. It's fine.
Let it play out.
Sooner or later, one of them is going to get tired.
One of the places in the U.S. named after the satellite cable provider Dish.
Sorry, what?
What?
I feel like there are several places in the United States named after the Dish network.
Huh.
They're like Dish Montana or something like that?
I think so.
Hmm.
Dish, cool. Texas.
That kind of sounds like the greatest place in the world to get some good gossip, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's what I was about to say, is just like, these guys can be doing this, but the focus of the story can be on the town gossiping about them.
Nice. Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. Is it a stop sign? Is it something else? And... kind of like, how does it escalate? So, you know, like, our protagonist tears it off and throws it away. Next day he drives by, it's back.
It's back.
Tears it off again. Next day drives back, it's back again. Now kind of like bolted to the ground more firmly. Mm-hmm. And with a like security camera very obviously placed.
Maybe it starts out as like a warning student crossing or like moose crossing. Then then becomes a yield sign, and then becomes a stop sign, and then there's a camera. And,
I like that.
And then there's like spikes.
Oh, man. So right. It's not even about, like, what's supposed to be there. Like, what's being placed there is a message.
Oh, yeah, no.
To the guy who's trying to remove it. Okay.
And in that case, then, like, the guy that's trying to remove it is, like, ruining his view from his house. This is chasing birds away. There is now kind of an aesthetic component to this. There is now kind of a like any sign here. This is no longer about this not being functional. This is now about the fact that the sign exists here offends me.
You know those signs that I think they're just sometimes they have them for school zones. Sometimes it's just like a slow zone sign where it's got the alternating blinking lights. That would be annoying as hell.
Yeah. Oh, and that means that like on top of getting the kind of sign upgraded, the like wattage of the bulbs keeps like getting upped too. So like by the fifth iteration, it needs to have like a little generator next to it to power like the blinding,
right? The flashing the lights. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the laser pointers attached to it. Meant to disorient people looking driving.
Yeah, no. Just, at a certain point, there start to be traffic accidents because of the sign.
The reasonable person in town like closes off the road and people start going around.
Yeah. My question is, what can the protagonist do to escalate? Because it's very clear what the sign putter upper can do to escalate. Like,
I think they have to sort of what you were saying about the initial idea, Ellie, is they have to move it somewhere, like on top of a tree or on top of a building or in the center of town, or it, you know, is found shorted out
in city council office.
Yeah, exactly.
One day the like antagonist wakes up and like, you know, gets into his car, starts to back out of his driveway and finds the sign installed, like actually paved into his driveway. Mm-hmm. Just this like stop sign. Okay, I like that.
Oh, man.
It naturally ends with them getting married.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Yeah, that sounds
maybe right. Maybe these were people who were already in a relationship and was sort of on the rocks. Like someone had moved out of the nice house.
I see.
And this, you know, they work out their tension. And everyone's just like, guys, just go get a drink and talk through this stuff.
Just fucking go get a drink.
We have therapists, please.
Yeah.
Right.
Please talk to Jimmy. He really wants to talk to both of you. He would do a couple session with you for free.
By the end of the movie, we'll pay you. Like, everyone in town will chip in to, like, pay Jimmy and you guys if you go.
Yeah, no, it ends with, like, a renewal of vows. It'll be great.
Right. After the fist fight.
Of course. After the fist fight. Oh, man. Maybe they start a construction business together because of all of the work that's been done to move the stupid sign.
So you've got 1 minute and 45 seconds left.
All right.
What is the title of this thing?
Stop in the Name of Love.
I think there are some rights issues associated with
that. Damn it.
But it's really good.
Every time I have a good idea, there's rights issues associated with
Give
that.
Give me a sign.
Damn it, Sarah.
No. He's right. Oh no.
Zach strikes again.
That's a lot.
Titles are my specialty.
That's now I know I'm coming for all my article titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
I'm trying to think about, like, what are a couple of other, like, funny escalations in this. Really, it's a prank war, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
Kind of.
Except it drags the entire town into it.
Right.
Because the signs start showing up everywhere.
Yeah, it starts interfering with in other people's lives and businesses.
Especially if the protagonist is kind of a bird watcher or someone that just likes a lot of quiet around their house.
Mm-hmm.
The antagonist at a certain point closes down the main road so that the, like, rush hour traffic jam is right outside the protagonist's house. Like, it diverts all the traffic.
Right.
They all have to go down this road. See, things like this sometimes make me wonder, kind of like, am I too vindictive in my life? This is a little bit easier than it perhaps should be to come up with these ideas.
10 seconds.
This is just, it's... As long as you have a healthy outlet, man.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good that I take these things out in the in this safe space that we've created.
Right.
And not out in the real world.
And that's time.
Ay, ay, ay.
Wow.
Wow.
What a wild story.
You guys took it in great directions. I just showed up with, like, hey, by the way, here's this hilarious story in, like, my town that we talk about all the time.
Is this the first real life story and non-news story?
I believe it is not.
I think there's been one other one, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
My memory's terrible, so.
I believe it was Eli Barraza came in with a story from her... real life, but I could be mistaken about that. But in any case, it's not about being first. It's about being great. And this one was great.
Amazing.
My God. Thank you so much for coming on the show and for bringing this terrible idea along with you.
Thank you for having me and showing me all of terrible ideas on the internet that make me want to close my computer and launch it from the window like that one GIF.
That's
the goal.
Yeah, yep. That's
mission accomplished.
And it was an absolute delight.
If people want to see more of your work, where's the best way to make that happen?
So they can follow me on Twitter at Showmark. That's Shomarq. You can read more of my critiques and reviews on my website. That's ElenaFernandezCollins.com. I write reviews for the AV Club, for the Velo Collective, Podcast Review, and some other places. And I am now going to be hosting Radio Drama Revival that starts up again in July. So you can hear me
there.
And I am also the host of Empty the Queues, which is a new-ish fan cast where you can hear me and Will talk about and Gavin talk about The Good Place, which I've never seen before.
Oh, man.
Along with a bunch of other people listening to Avatar, Community, and Beastars for the first time. Watching, not listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a voice actor on Valence.
There you are. That's
doing all of the things.
prodigious.
You're asking us for help?
No, but seriously, if you are someone that enjoys audio fiction and you have not yet gone through the archive of Ellie's work, it is some of the most incisive and well thought out criticism and coverage of the medium that we have right now. So please, please, please go out there and seek it out. It's good for you. It is really wonderful.
Make you better.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Well, thank you for being on the show and for being awesome.
It was really fun.
And thank you all for tuning in, for listening. We'll be back next week.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valente. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.